The first thing they always did was run you. When big league scouts road tested a group of elite amateur prospects, foot speed was the first item they checked off their lists. The scouts actually carried around checklists. Tools is what they called the talents they were checking for in a kid. There were five tools: the abilities to run, throw, field, hit, and hit with power. A guy who could run had wheels. A guy with a strong arm had a hose. Scouts spoke the language of auto mechanics. You could be forgiven, if you listened to them, for thinking they were discussing sports cars and not young men. On this late spring day in San Diego, several big league teams were putting a group of prospects through their paces. If the feeling in the air was a bit more tense than it used to be, that was because it was 1980. The risks in drafting baseball players had just risen. A few years earlier, professional baseball players had been granted free agency by a court of law. And after about 2 seconds of foot shuffling, baseball owners put prices on players that defied the old commonsensical notion of what a baseball player should be paid. Inside of 4 years, the average big league salary had nearly tripled from about $52,000 to almost $150,000 a year. The new owner of the New York Yankees, George Steinbrenner, had paid $10 million for the entire team in 1973. In 1975, he paid $3.7 million for baseball's first modern free agent, Catfish Hunter. A few years ago, no one thought twice about bad calls on prospects. But what used to be a $1,000 mistake was rapidly becoming a $1 million one. Anyway, the first thing they always did was run you. Five young men stretch and canter on the outfield crabgrass. Darnell Coles, Cecil Espy, Eric Erickson, Gary Harris, Billy Bean. They're still boys, really. All of them have had to produce letters from their mothers saying that it was okay for them to be here. No one outside their hometowns would ever have heard of them, but to the scouts, they already feel like household names. All five are legitimate first-round picks, among the 30 or so most promising prospects in the country. They've been culled from the nation's richest trove of baseball talent, Southern California, and invited to the baseball field at San Diego's Herbert Hoover High to answer a question: who is the best of the best? As the boys get loose, a few scouts chit-chat on the infield grass. In the outfield, Pat Gillick, the general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, stands with a stopwatch in the palm of his hand. Clustered around Gillick are five or six more scouts, each with his own stopwatch. One of them paces off 60 yards and marks the finish line with his foot. The boys line up along the left field foul line. To their left is the outfield wall off which Ted Williams, as a high school player, smacked opposite field doubles. Herbert Hoover High is Ted Williams' alma mater. The fact means nothing to the boys. They are indifferent to their surroundings. Numb. During the past few months, they've been so thoroughly examined by so many older men that they don't even think about where they are performing or for whom. They feel more like sports cars being taken out for a spin than they do like young men being tested. Paul Weaver, the Padres scout, is here. He's struck by the kids' cool. Weaver has seen new kids panic when they work out for scouts. Mark McLemore, the same Mark McLemore who will one day be a $3 million a year outfielder for the Seattle Mariners, will vomit onto the field before one of Weaver's workouts. These kids aren't like that. They've all been too good for too long. Darnell Coles, Cecil Espy, Eric Erickson, Gary Harris, Billy Bean. One of the scouts turns to another and says, "I'll take the three black kids, Coles, Harris, Espy. They'll dust the white kids. And Espy will dust everyone, even Coles." Coles is a sprinter who has already signed a football scholarship to play wide receiver at UCLA. That's how fast Espy is. The scouts are certain that even Coles can't keep up with him. Gillick drops his hand. Five born athletes lift up and push off. They're at full tilt after just a few steps. It's all over inside of 7 seconds. Billy Bean has made all the others look slow. Espy finished second, three full strides behind him. And as straightforward as it seems, what ambiguity could there possibly be in a 60-yard dash? Gillick is troubled. He hollers at one of the scouts to walk off the track again and makes certain that the distance